My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He's also a Fox News military analyst. We want to get his thoughts on the rise of Houthi rebels in Yemen, who last week forced the resignation of the Yemeni president, prime minister, and cabinet. The U.S. embassy in Yemen is now closed while the instability continues there. The Houthis are backed by the mullahs in Iran. So what will this instability in Yemen mean for the region, and how should it impact our approach possibly to Iran and its nuclear program? And, Captain, thanks very much for your time, as always.
My pleasure, Greg.
Yemen has been a pretty complicated player in the war on terror. In the last couple of presidents there, we've had people who, it seemed on the surface, were helping us. There were some accomplishments in the war on terror. At the same time, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has obviously flourished there, and they just claimed responsibility for the Paris terrorist attacks. So how big of a blow is the deposing of this government?
Well, it just adds to the overall instability and the mess that the Middle East has become ever since the Arab Spring. This was the kind of the knife in the heart of Yemen, which the president has been holding out as a way of modeling our success post-Arab Spring. And the ability to deal with the realpolitik of the 21st century. So what we're really seeing is continuing expansion and growth of Iranian influence in a very critical part of the world, not the least of which they just announced they're going to start construction of two more nuclear power plants. So the P5 plus one and John Kerry and all this stuff, that's not working. And now all of a sudden you've got more activity in Yemen where we're trying to deal with the AQAP, and it's just not working out well at all.
Captain, you referred a moment ago to the president back when he was addressing the ISIS situation late last summer, holding up Yemen as a success story in American foreign policy. Is it a case of things radically changing, a case of this administration not defining success well? What were they looking at in Yemen that they saw it as a success, and how did it go so wrong so quickly?
Well, I think what happened was back before the Arab Spring, there was a president of Yemen named Saleh. His vice president is the current president, Hadi, in Yemen. So what happened was when the West did not give President Saleh a lot of backing during the Arab Spring, he tried to clamp down on the unrest, went overboard, some things happened. So once it became clear that he was no longer going to be able to stay because he had no support, especially from the United States, he cut a deal to get an immunity from some of the things that happened when he was trying to suppress the riots. And once he got that immunity deal, then Hadi came in, stepped up as vice president, and became the president. Well, now you've got this Houthi minority, which is actually it's a bunch of desert clans that have gotten together. They're Shiite, and they are tired of being marginalized in the society. So they've stepped up. They've tried to work through the system. That didn't work. Everything is in turmoil. So they took up arms, and there have been six battles going on over time. I don't want to make this sound like they just suddenly rose up. They've been fighting for a while. But now they've got enough gravitas where they've swept into the capital, and they hold most of the capital. And as you said in your lead-in, the president's resigned, the cabinet's resigned, and the guy who was supposed to be helping draft the Constitution, they kidnapped him. So it's just your basic goat rope over there.
Captain, is this simply the Houthis? Are they sympathetic to the Iranians? Are they doing the Iranians' bidding? How closely should we consider them to be associated?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. The Houthi are Shiite. They're co-religionists with the Iranians. The Iranians, because they will help just about any Shiite group in the region, has backed them, helped them get weapons. And we can expect that the Iranians will fully leverage any opening they get with these guys. So if you look at where Yemen sits, it's a 900-mile coastline that starts up in the Red Sea and then swings around and goes into the Indian Ocean. And it sits astride that Red Sea-Indian Ocean opening that leads to the Suez Canal. So a tremendous amount of the world's shipping goes right past Yemen, and as you'll remember, that's where the USS Cole was bombed some years ago. So it's a very choke point country.
We also know, obviously, that the Saudis have no great love for the Iranians. They've recently, for a variety of reasons, cratered the price of oil, partly to offset our drilling success, but also to put the Iranians in dire economic straits, which seems to be working to some extent. So with that in mind, as well as the fact that there's some, I don't want to say instability, but at least a changing of the guard in the leadership in Saudi Arabia, and the new king doesn't exactly seem to be the strongest mentally or physically at this point, should the Saudis be worried that the Iranians have sinister intentions there?
Well, the Saudis are extremely worried about the Iranians, to the point that they see the West being so weak with these negotiations. And at the same time, we throw on sanctions. The president comes in and offers exclusions to those sanctions. And now there's a fight brewing between the president and the Congress, where the president's saying, essentially to his own Congress, don't screw up my negotiations by adding more sanctions, which the Congress is not planning on doing. All the Congress is planning on doing is putting sanctions that would never trigger unless the Iranians jerk us around. So if the Iranians negotiate in good faith, it doesn't matter what Congress does, because neither Senator Menendez in the Senate or the folks on the House side, what they want to put in place, neither one of their efforts comes into play unless the Iranians do what they've been doing for the last decades, which is continue to jerk us around and stall for time to build a nuclear weapon. So the Saudis, yes, they're concerned. Yes, they've had a change in leadership with the death of the king, King Abdullah, and now you've got the new king in there, and he, as you say, is unwilling to tighten down the oil spigot. So keeping that oil spigot open is a direct financial threat to the Iranians, to the point that the Prime Minister of Iran has made threats to the countries who he believes are waging economic warfare against Iran.
Last question, Captain Nash. I'm sure if you could advise the Obama administration, you'd suggest several changes to their negotiating strategy with the Iranians. But how should this latest development in Yemen and any threats posed by that influence how we approach Iran and its nuclear program?
You can never appease your enemies without suffering consequences. And what this administration has done, Cuba is just the latest example, where you've got a tourniquet on this thing, and once you take that tourniquet off, it better be for a really good reason, and that's that you're going to fix the situation. We have enabled our enemies to so accurately judge our position because they know all they have to do is stand firm, and we will try to meet them halfway to an unreasonable position, which means our position will become less and less reasonable and more closer toward theirs. So we're going to have to deal with strength. There's a great quote. The Iron Lady was once asked, what do you think is the lesson of the 20th century? And Margaret Thatcher said, I would think that the greatest lesson of the 20th century is one cannot appease dictators if one values the lives of the innocent. We are a country that's all about freedom. We've been trying to export freedom. We're not going to turn people into countries into Jeffersonian democracies, but we would like to stand for some basic human rights and do things where we can all sleep well and be comfortable in our own skins at night. Well, that is not what the Iranians are about. That's not what Al-Qaeda is about, and that's not what the Islamic State is about. They are direct threats to all of humanity, and they have to be dealt with and dealt with sternly. Weakness just breeds greater problems.
We'll leave it there. Captain, thanks very much for your analysis, as always.
My pleasure.
Retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash, Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.